Brother Ian Rathie is the first speaker this afternoon as we deal with our subject. Brother Rathie has been a missionary in the Dominican Republic for over 50 years, a fellow printer. He's been associated with a Bible press in Santo Domingo, getting out gospels and tracts and so on in that needy land. So, for now, you'll be singing again, but for now, we're going to ask Ian to come up and deal with the topic, changing methods in a changing world. Brother Rathie.
Shall we read together Matthew chapter 25? Matthew chapter 25, verse 14. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling in a far country, who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to every man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. And he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, and made them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the little servants cometh and reckoneth with them. So he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliveredst unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained beside them 5 talents more. His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 other talents beside them. His Lord said unto him, Well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, and went and hid thy talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. His Lord answered and said unto him, Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, and then at my coming I should have received mine own with usury. Take therefore the talent from him, and give it unto him which hath 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even that which he hath. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, And he gave some prophets, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, or to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. I'm sure the Lord will bless to us the reading of his word. At the time of the U.S., United States Bicentennial celebration, there was a commission of very outstanding citizens that were to write about choices for Americans in the 3rd century. Now, they wrote 12 complete volumes. But this is the way it was summed up. To understand our confusion is to achieve a minor but critical triumph. Even to understand our confusion as confusion rather than something else is no negligible achievement. Now, perhaps we are greatly confused today because of the many changes in our modern world. I don't mean just the well-known ones that we used to travel by streetcar, and now we travel by bus, or we used to go to the mission field in an ocean liner, or by train across the continent, and now we go by plane. These are the more obvious changes in our world today, and there are many others like them. I'd like to notice some special changes which have to do with our unchanging commission. First of all, I think these are just a few of the significant changes. One, growing nationalistic and racial feelings. Second place, the great development of ecumenism. Third, the establishment of churches or assemblies in many lands. Number four, the higher percentage of youth in most lands. And number five, and I've left it till last, the increase of population and development of literacy. Now, just for a moment, before we look at these changes which affect our great commission, our unchanging commission, I'd like to consider one or two things that don't change. Once again, this afternoon, unchanging things. First of all, our doctrine doesn't change. We believe in the infallible and inerrant Bible. We believe in the deity of our Lord Jesus Christ. We believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit at conversion and His abiding presence in the believer. And in the fourth place, why we believe in the gathering of believers in local companies, in assemblies or local churches. These are the basics. And of course, they include the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. The historic facts with their implications and their demands on our lives, yours and mine. They have to do with the old, old story of Jesus and His love. As the poetess has said, wonderful story of infinite grace, story of one crucified in my place, hanging forsaken between earth and sky, shamed and tormented, and left there to die, His kingly head bowed with the weight of my sin, foul as I, Lord, without and within. Angels still carol the story through space, wonderful story of infinite grace, wonderful story of infinite love, wanting me there in heaven above, seeing me blood-washed as spotless as He, making a home for a sinner like me. Oh, how it eases the pain we must bear, only to dream of the home waiting there, its windows aglow with the light of His face. wonderful story of love and of grace. The story doesn't change. Our doctrine doesn't change. And then I think another thing is our need for compassion. That doesn't change.
We had a world literature crusade down there in San Domingo. It was called the Every Home Crusade. The effort was to put a gospel tract in every home in the Dominican Republic. Well, the missionaries were gathered, and the man that was head of this literature crusade mission came down, and he was trying to tell us just how this Every Home Crusade could be carried out. We were rather skeptical, I'm afraid. How could we put a tract in every home? How could we get around to those isolated homes on the mountainside and so on? And he told us a story. He'd been over in Africa trying to start an every home crusade over there. And apparently the missionaries saw all kinds of difficulties, just as we did down there in the Dominican Republic. So finally, completely discouraged, he went to his room and he asked the Lord to give him a message for the missionaries. And so when he knelt in prayer and when he opened his Bible, he found the text, "The Lord had compassion on the multitude." And then he went on to explain. And friends, I think this is true in connection with modern missions today. He said, "Why, fellow workers, it's 90% inspiration and it's just only 10% organization or methods." And so we got down to work under the guidance of the Lord, and we had that Every Home Crusade in the Dominican Republic. The Lord had compassion on the multitudes. Do we? I'd like to read you just a few verses of a paraphrase of 1 Corinthians 13. It may help to put those changes that we're going to be speaking about in proper perspective. "If I have the language ever so perfectly, speak like a native, but have not his love for them, I am nothing. If I have diplomas and degrees and know all the up-to-date methods and have not his touch of understanding, of understanding love, I am nothing. If I have been able to argue successfully against their beliefs and made fools of them and have not his wooing note, I am nothing. If I have magnificent plans and have not his love that sweats and bleeds and weeps and prays and pleads, I am nothing. If I give my clothes and money to them and have not his love for them, I am nothing. If I surrender all prospects, leave home and friendships, make the sacrifices of a missionary career, and turn sour and selfish amid the daily annoyances and slights of missionary life, and so I give my body to be consumed with tropical fevers and have not that love that yields its rights, its leisures, and pet plans, I am nothing." Surely this should be a challenge to our hearts this afternoon to maintain those spiritual values, that need for compassion in the heart of any who have anything to do with the great commission of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now then, briefly, let's notice the changes again. And first of all, the increase or the growth of nationalistic and racial feelings. You may have read of the great conference, I think it was called an evangelical conference, that was held at Lausanne. And some of those proceedings were The proceedings of the conference were informed of them by means of missionary magazines or Christian magazines. One of these was brought up was that there should be a moratorium on missions or on missionaries. Now, if you don't know just what that means, I think it's probably a polite way of saying missionary go home. And so they were talking about this, that it was necessary to stop missionary endeavor or stop missionaries going forth and, as some put it, leave it to the nationals. At Bangkok, the World Council of Churches had another conference, and they decided that this was the end of the missionary era. And I'm going to quote here one of them, Dr. George Patterson. He said, "The place and function of missionaries in the modern world is coming under closer scrutiny. Few countries want paternalistic Christianity or Western imperialistic customs. Now we are faced with a situation where a diminishing amount of money is being given to a decreasing number of missionaries for a smaller sphere of activity in fewer countries of the world." Now, do you know why I started with that quotation on confusion? Why, surely we have confusion everywhere today, even in connection with our unchanging commission. But I'm sure that the conveners of this conference are not in accord with the sentiments expressed either in Lausanne or in Bangkok. May I quote or tell you something that a professor of missionary of missions has said in connection with the different attitudes of the missionary today? First of all, there is the missionary who goes and takes charge of everything on the field, and he says to the believer, "This is my church." And so he keeps control of everything. Then in the second place, there is an equally sincere missionary, perhaps, and he says to the young believers, newly converted, "Here, this is your church." And he hands it over to them. They don't have experience, and so, of course, there are many mistakes. But then he says, there's a third missionary. And he is working with nationals as co-laborers with God. He recognizes no superiority in himself, nor does he glamorize a non-existent inferiority complex. He recognizes the New Testament principle of being a laborer with God and with the local believers. He himself emphasizes the oneness of all believers. This oneness, realized and functioning in the local church, missionary and nationals working together, vaporizes racism and translates the message of redeeming love into every tongue and plants churches among peoples of every race. And then, what about ecumenism? Well, I think I better quote again. Dr. Stoll, head of the National Council of Churches Division of Foreign Missions, says this: "Difficult, even incredible as it may sound, we have to begin to learn what joint action for missions means with Protestants and Catholics as partners." Confusion compounded. What about this new and ecumenically relevant form of missions of which Dr. Stoll speaks? Does it have anything to do with preaching the gospel to every creature, with our unchanging position, with our unchanging commission? I believe the first missionary, or one of the first missionaries, was one who was located in the most religious city on earth. And I don't know whether you remember, but it was said of her that she spoke of the Lord to all who waited for redemption in Jerusalem. Yes, that was her theme. And the hymn writer has said, Christians, go and tell of Jesus, how he died to save our souls, how that he from sin might free us, suffered agonies untold. May I challenge you today? Are we looking at the closed doors and forgetting about the open ones? Remember the reprimand that was given by the wise men? Former days were better than these. Are we saying this in our hearts regarding missions? What about the one that was pictured, he that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that observeth the clouds shall not reap. We're not called upon to look at the clouds and the winds, but sow the seed. In the morning of the gospel day, perhaps that means apostolic days, sow thy seed. And in the evening, when darkness sets in our days, withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, whether this or that, or whether both alike shall be good. And so we may be in days of great opportunity and great reaping for the message of the gospel. Have we forgotten that vision which is given us in the last book of the Bible, where men and women from every country and every clime and every race and every tongue and every nation are gathered round the throne to sing the praises of our wonderful and great Redeemer? Remember, it's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. One more word about ecumenism, ecumenism. A Baptist preacher said that the simplicity of the local church is the complete answer to the ecumenical church. Think of it. I stood in a stadium in Santo Domingo and watched 25 or 30,000 Roman Catholics in a charismatic meeting. I heard the screams all over the stadium and the comments where there's another received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And I just began to think of it as I saw those people being carried out completely unconscious in a trance or whatever power had laid hold on them. And they were carried down to some room where they received first aid, shall we say. And I thought of the director, the words of a director of the CIM, the China Inland Mission, after they were put out of China. He said, it came as a shock when we discovered or rediscovered the function that God had always intended for the local church in his program. And I thought, as I looked at those thousands of charismatics, not transformed lives by the power of the gospel, but manifestations of some power. And I thought, well, will they be able to put up and survive as Christians under the persecution of a communist state? And I thought of those hundreds, yes, thousands of local churches in China that have survived and that are witnessing today in that great nation. Surely, again, we would say, it's not by might nor by power. And where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. Now, what about these changing methods? Or may I say, changing emphases? The first I want to mention is a method which was used in apostolic times. Preaching in the open air. The apostles did this. Well, I stood with a company of believers in Los Angeles, California, and shared in an open air meeting. We were on a corner where there's a traffic light, and I don't think there was anybody within sight who heard a word of what was being said. The only chance was that when a car came up to the red light, when the traffic light changed, they might hear just a phrase or two of what the preacher was saying. And I thought, well, there's something wrong here. What about the new open air? The radio broadcast. That's already been mentioned. But I don't think the proliferation of transistor radios was mentioned. Why, nearly everyone has a transistor radio, at least in the Dominican Republic, and I believe in most countries to the south of us there. And as I mentioned this morning, there are scores of radio stations in our one country. One of our national workers, Mariano Gonzalez, preaches on 21 stations. I said by mistake 18 this morning. 21 stations in Latin America. 118 broadcasts every week. The title of his program is Think on These Things. And it covers the whole of Latin America. And so, let's think of this great door and effectual, the open air of the modern world, the airwaves that take the message into the most isolated places on earth. And then I'm going to make a plea for more emphasis on children's work. There's been a great increase in the population of the world, and there's been a great increase in the percentage of people under 15 years of age. I believe in the world, the figures are given by a reliable committee. They say that in the world, 37% of all the population is under 15 years of age. In Africa, it's 44%. And in the Dominican Republic, it's 47%. Almost half the population under 15 years of age. Now, you remember the Child Evangelism, the organization had a vision of reaching boys and girls. And we thank God for that vision. And we trust that many others may have the vision. I'm not in accord with all their methods. But if you want a real good book of information about that, a booklet by Alfred Gibbs, Child Evangelism, Delights, Dangers, and Design. By Alfred Gibbs, printed by Walterick, Child Evangelism, Delights, Dangers, and Design. Now, if you were to visit a city like Santo Domingo City, and some of you have. You've had the privilege and joy of having you down there. I hope there'll be more in the future. Well, you'll see children on every street of the city. In fact, sometimes we say we could have a Sunday school on every street of this city. Mother Taylor, remember Mrs. Cuthbert Taylor, some of you, who is over 20 years in Africa and Angola, when she was down there for 4 years with us, in the beginning of the work in Santo Domingo City, she said, if I had my life to live over again, I'd give it for the children of Santo Domingo. And so this is a wonderful open door today. a work of, among children, a work among boys and girls and young people. Shouldn't we specialize, some of us, in this great work? I can mention a number of things which are very fruitful, not only Sunday schools, but daily vacation Bible schools, thousands of children under the sound of the word, and patio classes. Go where you go, anywhere. You can have a number of children in a patio backyard, daily vacation Bible schools mentioned, and youth clubs. And now, getting into camp work. And our small beginning in Santo Domingo City, there are over 30 young people gave their hearts and lives to the Lord. Then a third thing is teaching ministry. And I mention this because I believe it has to do especially with lands where there are local churches. We read about this in Ephesians. The Lord has given gifts. One of those gifts is teaching. And the motive for teaching and the objective is to equip the saints. And so there is great need for a teaching ministry. Down there where I've been, and I speak just from my limited personal experience, there's a real hunger for the Word of God. But, may I say again, there should be close cooperation with the assemblies, with the local elders. I hope no one goes down there with a superiority complex because they've had more material comforts here at home or because they have a higher standard of living here in these home countries. Why, that's very easily detected by the nationals, and I want to tell you they don't like it. And so there's room for gift in opening up the Word of God and teaching it to those who find delight in the Word. And I'm sure that this brings great joy. And so may I mention just three essentials. First of all, the love or compassion, which was already mentioned. Then faithfulness, and we have that in the portion which I read. The good and faithful servant. And then the last thing is the servant attitude. Go not as Lord, but as servant. He that will be great shall be minister. And he that will be chief shall be servant. May it be so in our experience. And then, what about this greater use of literature? May I speak in the remaining time about literature principally? It's not just because I'm engaged in it, but I want you to face certain facts and give them a real consideration. The increase of the population of the world was already mentioned. I think that the lowest estimate I've ever seen of the yearly increase is 45 million. But more common one is 100 million a year. Now, it's been said that all the missionaries in the world, in a personal way, could only come in contact with 3 million new people a year. What about the other 97 million new people in the world every year? I know statistics don't mean much to a lot of people, maybe most of us, but in the last 4 months, 1 million people have passed into eternity in Latin America. In Latin America alone. And 3/4 of them, or 750 million, had never heard the gospel. Isn't that tremendous? Sometimes we hear these figures and then we get busy with something else, perhaps less important, and we try to put it out of our minds just as quickly as we can. But just think of it. In another 4 months, another 1 million people will have passed into eternity in Latin America. And so what methods can we use to reach these people, these multiplying millions? Dr. Oswald Smith was the well-known pastor of the People's Church in Toronto. And that church was one of the churches that most contributed, both in missionaries and in money, in the foreign field for many years. Dr. Oswald Smith said this, "For 10 years I have prayerfully considered the problem. How can we evangelize the world in this generation? There must be a way. After travel and study, I have come to the conclusion that we can only carry out the commission by means of the printed page." Kenneth Strachan was another famous missionary, director of the Latin American mission. He said, "In recent months, I have been astonished to find that 90% of all converts in Latin America are either indirectly or directly the result of literature evangelism." Now, I'm giving you these figures. I don't pretend to indicate that they can be valid for all countries. Perhaps not for Africa, not for certain parts of Asia, and so on. But because of the tremendous advance in literacy in many countries in the world, these statements, I believe, are valid. This was a survey which was taken in Costa Rica. Can I say Costa Rica perhaps had a higher literacy percentage than other countries? But they asked the question, which of the following types, literature, audiovisual presentations, or radio ministries, did you pay attention to before you were converted? This was the result of the survey. Tracts, 41%. Christian magazines, 32%. Radio, 26%. And there were other things mentioned, but you'll notice those figures. The audiovisual presentations had a still smaller percentage. And so, which was the media or the medium that was most used according to this survey? Well, 73% were reached by literature. And so this is something I believe which we should take into account today.
Of literature some time ago, it said paper and ink today are more effective than cannons or bombs. The population increase is geometric, and the number of missionaries is actually declining. And then this paper called for 50 more printing presses, 200 more bookstores, and 5,000 more purporters between the Rio Grande, southern border of the U.S., and Patagonia, the southern part of South America, within 2 years. And so I want to just quote again, what this paper said. "We need a drastic change in our strategy. We should give more importance to the publishing house than to the seminary. The printed page must be in years ahead, and until Christ comes, the great attack force and conquering army of gospel truth. Again, I want to say, I don't want to push literature more than other means of reaching the multitudes, but I'm just giving you some facts, and because of perhaps what might be called the unglamorous scroll of literature, maybe sometimes it's more neglected than it should be. So think of the printing presses and all the workers that are seeking to get out the gospel by means of the printed page. And so in summing up, what are we doing? It said that Daniel Webster's father one day noticed that the boys were rather quiet, so he went down to see what they were up to, and he asked, first of all, the older one, "What are you doing, Ezekiel?" He said, "Oh, I'm doing nothing, sir." And he turned to Daniel and he said, "What are you doing, Daniel?" And Daniel said, "I'm helping Zeke, sir." How many of us are helping Zeke? That is, doing nothing as far as the Lord's service is concerned. I want to make it a challenge to each one of us here this afternoon. Son, go work today in my vineyard. Is there anyone listening? That's what the Lord said. He said also, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." And that verse, "Occupy till I come," I like the Spanish, "Do business till I come." Are we doing business for him? He had to be about his Father's business. He made it his business. Are we making the Lord's business our business? Like the apostle, he could say, "This one thing I do." There was no confusion in the mind of the apostle Paul. He had an unchangeable, unchanging objective. Oh, fellow believers, let's make this our objective in our generation, that we may see many precious souls and bring them, run by our united efforts, to the throne in that coming day. And so, I'm going to close. It isn't fair. It can't be right. I now protest with all my might. I raise my voice both loud and long. It's wrong, my friend. It's wrong, it's wrong. It's wrong, I say. Dead wrong indeed. That's why I weep and beg and plead. It's a black and wicked sin to keep the light from dying men. Unsaved, I plead the cause of men afar. Unsaved, unloved, untold they are. Why have we been so late and slow? Why have there been so few to go? Unsaved, unsought, and still untold, because we love and hold our gold. How dare we show such selfish greed and keep the truth from men in need? Let's follow Jesus' last command. Let's take the light to every land. The truth is plain. The need is great. The time is short. The hour is late. Let's not linger, rest, or sleep, but rise and go and give and weep and quickly tell a dying race of Jesus' love and power and grace. And as A.T. Pearson, the great writer, said, there is a disgraceful proportion between our opportunities and our endeavors. The laborers we send to the foreign field and the multitude of disciples that remain at home, the millions we spend on missions and the billions we keep in selfish coffers, or spend in selfish luxury. May the Lord speak to our hearts today.